You don't have to live in the St. Louis area to take advantage of the great deals at Concordia Publishing House's annual warehouse sale. You can purchase resources online, November 3rd through the 10th at cph.org. Take advantage of discounted prices on many of the items you hear promoted on issues, etc. during the Concordia Publishing House's online warehouse sale, November 3rd through the 10th, cph.org. Shop online, cph.org. This is the time after the, well, it's being called the tsunami, isn't it? The Republican tsunami. This is the time after all of the charts and graphs are assembled. All the data is being assembled and sifted through, and people are already speculating about what it means, why it happened, why there was such a major shift, a historic midterm election. One of the questions that, of course, I think we ought to have, especially as believers, is what role did those who cast their votes as believers, the faithful, what role did they have? What was important to them when they went to the ballot box? I know it was important to me or to other people around me, but how did it come out nationwide? What does it look like? They're going to be talking about how the faithful voted in the midterm elections. Greg Smith of the Pew Research Center will be our guest here in the first few minutes of the program. A little bit later, we'll continue our weekly series on Christ and the Old Testament, Amos chapter 5, with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. Join us for the next hour. Your questions and your comments are welcome, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or our beloved on-demand listeners, use the Issues Etc. comment line anytime you're listening, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about how the faithful voted in the midterm elections, Greg Smith. He's Associate Director of Research at the Pew Research Center based in Washington, D.C. Greg, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you for having me.
What is the relationship between worship attendance, those who mark themselves as regular worship attenders, and how they voted?
Well, you know, in recent elections, we've seen a very clear, very straightforward pattern. Simply put, people who say they attend religious services most often vote Republican at much higher rates than people who attend religious services less often. And we see the exact same thing in this midterm election. Among voters who attend church or another house of worship at least weekly, most voted Republican, almost 6 in 10 voted Republican, as a matter of fact. At the other end of the spectrum, among people who say they never attend religious services, most voted Democratic. 60% voted for the Democratic candidate in the for the House of Representatives in their district.
So I take it, with regard to the questions of how the Republicans fared in the midterm elections with regular worship attenders, they fared well?
They certainly did. They got 60% of the vote among people who say they attend worship services regularly. I'll tell you where Republicans appear to have made some inroads in this election cycle is with people who attend religious services occasionally. So people who don't go weekly, but they also don't say they never attend. They're sort of in the middle. That group favored Republicans over Democratic candidates by a narrow margin in this election cycle. By contrast, in 2006, which is the last midterm election for which we have data on these folks, that group, people who say they occasionally attend religious services, favored Democrats over the GOP by a 20-point margin. So that's quite a swing, and that's where we see the GOP having made some inroads this year.
So those are people who have a religious affiliation that's fairly clear in terms of how they self-identify. But just to be clear, their religious attendance isn't weekly or semi-weekly. It's less frequent.
That's right. It's more sporadic. You know, what we had in this election is that people who attend religious services weekly voted Republican just as they have in many recent elections. At the other end, people who never attend religious services were strongly Democratic, just as they've been in recent elections. The group that seems to have changed is the group that's in the middle, people who tell us they attend religious services monthly or maybe a few times a year. That's the group that swung in the Republican direction this year.
Beyond attendance at worship services, what religiously affiliated groups tended to favor Republican candidates?
Yeah, it's interesting. Protestants favored Republicans over Democrats, and that's especially true of white Protestants, almost three-quarters of whom voted for Republican candidates in the House of Representatives this year. It's even more true of white evangelical Christians. Among that group, more than three-quarters say they voted for Republican candidates this year. Another pretty strongly Republican group in this election was white Catholics. 6 in 10 white Catholics say they voted Republican. So those were the groups that were most strongly Republican this year.
So broadly speaking of Catholics, then, how did they appear to vote, broadly speaking, in the midterms?
Catholics as a whole broke narrowly for Republicans. 54% of Catholics as a whole say they voted for Republicans this year, and that's very similar. In fact, that's identical to what we saw in 2010, the last midterm election. White Catholics were more strongly Republican as compared with Catholics as a whole. And I think that what that implies, obviously, is that minority Catholics, especially Hispanics, tend to be more Democratic as compared with white Catholics.
And those numbers did not appear to change from most previous polling?
They did not compared to 2010, when we saw basically an identical margin among Catholics as a whole, about a 10-point win for Republicans.
So what religiously affiliated groups tended to favor the Democratic candidates?
There again, we see some pretty we see a lot of stability compared to recent elections. The most strongly Democratic religious constituency this year was people who say that they have no religion. The religiously unaffiliated, we sometimes call them the religious nuns. That group, among that group, 7 in 10 voted for Democrats over Republicans in 2014. We also see that Jewish voters were strongly supportive of Democratic candidates. About 2/3 of Jewish voters say they voted for the Democratic House candidate in their district.
So how would you summarize what we've discussed so far? What, especially in terms of things that may have changed over the last three election cycles, or two.
Yeah.
How would you summarize the data from yesterday?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. You know, if I had to summarize it in just a sentence or two, I think what I would say is that we've got a lot of stability when it comes to religion and politics and religion in congressional elections, but with a few interesting wrinkles. We talked about one of those, the fact that people who say they occasionally attend religious services seem to be moving in a more Republican direction. I'll tell you another interesting thing that that jumps out at me in the data is Jewish voters. They continue to be strongly Democratic, but compared with 2006, which is, I realize, 8 years ago, but it's the last midterm in which we have good data for Jewish voters. Compared with 2006, Jewish voters also seem to have moved in something of a Republican direction this year. So lots of stability, but with some very interesting wrinkles.
Did your data reflect anything about race and the nexus of race and religious affiliation when it came to midterm elections?
Well, you know, we do not yet have the raw data from the national exit polls, and so we're reliant right now on what's been reported by many of the national media organizations that help conduct these polls. And the data with respect to race and religion isn't yet available for that reason. But we can tell, if we just look at how whites voted, and we do have those data, we can tell that whites voted more strongly Republican as compared to minorities. And that's true within religious traditions. We can see, for example, that white Protestants were more strongly Republican than Protestants as a whole. That certainly suggests that black Protestants tended to be more Democratic. Similarly with Catholics, we can see that white Catholics were more Republican than Catholics as a whole, suggesting that Hispanic Catholics and other minorities within the Catholic Church were more strongly Democratic.
Just a kind of a curious question for you before we let you go, Greg. Are the midterms kind of an animal of their own in your experience when it comes to these things? They tend to be politically, or are they predictive of the regular cycle of votes during presidential election years?
Well, it is true that that many of the patterns that we see in presidential election years you also tend to see in midterms. But at the same time, there's no doubt that midterms are a completely different animal than presidential election years. Turnout is lower, and the people who turn out tend to be different than in presidential election years. Most notably, older people turn out at higher rates in midterm years as compared with younger people, and white voters tend to turn out at greater rates in midterms than as compared with minority voters. So you do have to keep those things in mind, and that's why I think if you're talking about trends over time, by religion or by any other factor, I think it's important to compare midterms to midterms and presidential elections to presidential elections. That keeps you from getting into an apples and oranges situation.
So finally, if you are writing the headline for this midterm election in terms of the data that you have in front of you right now, how would it read?
Well, I think, I think what I'd say is lots of stability with respect to religion and politics and religion in this election, but some interesting wrinkles with a couple of key groups moving in a Republican direction, which is very much what we see among the electorate as a whole.
Greg Smith is Associate Director of Research at the Pew Research Center based in Washington, D.C. You will find a link to the Pew Research Center at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Greg, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you again for having me.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. Our regular weekly series with him is Christ in the Old Testament. We have been in Isaiah. We have been to the bigger prophets. We've been to some of the smaller prophets. We're going to be in Amos chapter 5, if I'm not mistaken, when we come back.
Organist Service, aptly abbreviated SOS, really has come to our rescue.
Pastor Jim Hollowatch of Christ Lutheran Church in Jackson, Mississippi.
With the ever-growing shortage of skilled musicians in our community, we were approaching a real crisis. But thanks to the Substitute Organist Service, help is always just minutes away. With its easy, intuitive interface, friendly customer service, and outstanding musicianship, you really couldn't ask for more.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Arch Fitness of Greater St. Louis has a new fall schedule for adult boot camps and sports performance training classes. There's plenty of flexibility with workouts on weekday mornings, weekday evenings, or even Saturday mornings. Arch Fitness is located at 127 West MacArthur Drive in Cottage Hills, Illinois. For more information, check out the Facebook fan page for Arch Fitness or call Kevin Reisick at 618-670-6950. Get in shape this fall with Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Hi, this is Pastor Mark Azil, the LCMS Director of Campus Ministry and LCMSU, inviting all college students and those with an interest in campus ministry to join us for Taboo, the 2015 National LCMS Campus Ministry Conference, this coming January 5th through 7th at St. Louis University in St. Louis. That's right, it's Taboo in the Lou. Find out more at lcms.org/LCMSU.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues, Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.